I think it should be taken. I don't know if it is or not. I guess it is. We'll give it a try. Starting a little late, but anyway, we're studying tonight on the subject of the financing of the church. And we read 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verses 13 and 14. We've talked about how that God's plan is financing the church by tithes and offerings, by the giving of one-tenth from his people. It doesn't involve, you know, various other things that people have come up with today to raise money. And a lot of them work. Some of them maybe don't work as good as others, but tithing works if God's people would just do it. And we've mentioned how that tithing is many times people try to argue against tithing by saying that it's a thing for the law. But in Old Testament times, Abraham tithed long before the law was given. And we're reading now in Genesis, the 14th chapter, and verse 20, it says, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Now, here in the story, the context here is when Abraham rescued Lot from the kings of the north, when they came down and they overtook the villages and the towns down in Sodom and Gomorrah and around those areas. And they carried off Lot as a prisoner of war. And Abraham rounded up his servants, and there was 318 servants in his house, and he rounded them all up. They armed themselves, and they took off chasing after these kings from the north. And they overtook them, ambushed them, and got back the treasures of Sodom and Gomorrah, and mainly rescued Lot. And from the spoils of this little war, Abraham gave tithes. And here, it was actually the priest of Salem, Melchizedek, who was a mysterious character in the Bible. But I believe he's a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people even go so far to say that this Melchizedek was a theophany. There's a lot of controversy about that. But the point is that Abraham tithed to this priest of God, this priest of the Most High God. And he gave one-tenth of all of the spoils to this man. And when did he do this? Did Abraham do this because Moses had written it in the law? Moses wasn't even born yet. Moses didn't live till 400 some years later. Moses didn't live until after the children of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, were down into Egypt and in captivity down there for 400 some odd years. And then they were led out of Egypt by Moses. And then after the coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness wanderings, they were given the law. And people today, you know, the first thing that they'll try to say when you preach tithing is that, "Don't preach the law to me. Tithing's not the law," except for the fact that it's God's way of financing his work on this earth. In that sense, it's the law, but it's not any kind of law that's ever been abolished or done away with or anything like that. It's God's law in that sense of the word. In fact, if you don't do it, well, you'll answer to God for it. I believe it. I believe it's a sin not to tithe. And Abraham believed in it long before the law of Moses ever came into existence. Turn over to Genesis chapter 28. Verses 20, 21, and 22. "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Jacob believed in tithing. Also, long before the law of Moses was ever given, he believed in giving the tenth, and that's what the word tithing. Don't let the word tithe throw you. You can always substitute the word tenth for it, because that's what it means. A tithe is a tenth, one tenth. I mean, God doesn't even ask us as much from you as the United States government does. And Jacob believed in it. He said, "I'll do it." And it's an interesting phrase here. He says, "This shall be God's house." That's where the tithe belongs. Today, the tithe does not belong to your television evangelist. It doesn't belong to your radio preachers. It doesn't belong to any other benevolent organization on this earth except for the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, the pillar and ground of the truth. That is where the tithe of God's people belongs, the tenth, to the house of God. Abraham believed in it. Jacob believed in it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three believed in it. And they all tithed long before the law of Moses was ever given. But then you move over into the realm of the law and Moses' time. And yes, certainly the tithing was practiced during that time. We don't deny that one bit. We just believe that it's always been God's plan of, and God's way of financing his work in his house. Even before the law was given, it was that way. And while the law was here, that was God's way. We don't back off from that. Don't let anybody scare you off from that. And try, just because they use that as an argument against tithing, it's not an argument against tithing. It's just a reinforcement for it. In Moses' day, yes, they believed in tithing. What's wrong with that? God's word teaches it. If you turn to Leviticus, the 27th chapter and verse 30. And I like the way it's worded here in this chapter especially. Leviticus chapter 27. Verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's." That's who it belongs to. It doesn't even belong to you, really. It belongs to God. It's the Lord's. All of it. It says all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. I hear a lot of preachers, preaching, and they get to talking about tithing and say, you know, when it comes to tithing, you might as well not do it if your heart's not right. I disagree with that. I believe it's wrong to tithe with the wrong heart, but it's not the tithing that's wrong, it's the wrong heart that's wrong. And that's the way I preach it. You can never tithe wrong. Tithing is always right. Now, if you do it with a wrong heart, it's your heart that's wrong, not the tithing. And that's the way I preach it. Tithing is never wrong. You may do it with the wrong heart, but it's never wrong.
In that case, the Lord will receive the tithe that you won't receive
better. Amen. Amen, brother. All of the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to him. And I wonder sometimes, I haven't done a whole lot of study on this, but I kind of go along with it. In one way or another, I kind of get the feeling that the Lord gets his tithe. There's been times in my life, and my wife can back me up on this, where, you know, we've had some real rough times. And there's been times where, you know, we had bills that had to be paid. I mean, they had to be paid. And it came down to, do we Do we give to the church this week, or do we pay this bill? And I'm sad to say there's been times when we paid the bill instead of paying our tithe. And we turned right around and had to pay the exact amount that we shortchanged God in hospital bills for Cindy.
I've seen the exact same thing happen to a friend of mine. It's right to the very dollar. Dollar amount.
I'll tell you, the Lord knows how to show you a lesson. When he gets ready to teach you something about tithing, he knows. I mean, it's the money, when it gets down to your child, the money is beside the question. Not only did we have to pay the doctor bill, but our daughter had to suffer for our unfaithfulness. Leviticus tells us that the tithe belonged to God here in the Old Testament. I believe that if it belonged to him then, it still does.
Unless he's changed.
Unless he's changed. In Numbers chapter 18. Wait till our treasurer finds out that I preached on this tonight and he wasn't here. Boy, he's going to feel bad, won't he? Numbers chapter 18, verse 24. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. It's the priests of the house of God. It's the ones who do the ministerial type of work in God's house that are supported in their ministerial kind of work by the tithes and offerings of God's people. The priests were supported in Old Testament times, and they just didn't sit back and rake it all in and do nothing. I mean, they had to tithe also. That's right. Verse 26. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. A tithe of the tithe, a tenth of the tenth. I appreciate Brother Elton Wilson. He was the pastor of Bible Baptist Church down in Clarksville, Tennessee. I was a member of that church for 4 years. He believed in tithing. He preached on it, too. I mean, he wasn't bashful about it. He preached on it almost every Sunday. Sometimes it felt like that. And I know there was probably members in that church that felt like he probably did preach on it too much. He would even go so far when it got time to ordain some of the preacher boys that had come to that church and studied the Word of God in the school there and everything. You know what one of the first questions he would ask them when the council was gathered together and they began to interrogate the candidates? Do you believe in tithing? Do you practice it yourself? He would do that. I wouldn't be surprised, but if you pull out my ordination tape, that's not one of the questions he asked me. I don't remember right now, but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I'd almost bet you that he probably asked me that.
He was asked to me.
Yeah, preachers. I mean, you know, how in the world are you going to preach tithing if you don't practice it yourself? Tithing, yeah. That's priests. Priests were supported that way, and I believe New Testament preachers are to be supported that way too. Verse 28, says, thus ye also shall offer a heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes, which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Look with me also in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Start at verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of the oxen and the sheep, and the tithe of the holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. Wouldn't that be something to see the Lord's churches in this day and age just have heaps to do the Lord's work with? I wouldn't be surprised, but what we wouldn't have heaps to work with if God's people were more faithful in this area. Tithing. Verse 7 says, in the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps and finished them in the seventh month. I just wonder, what if all of a sudden all of the saved and the members of the Lord's churches, all of a sudden they started bringing in what they owe the Lord. Just
it was, but it 4 months to sort it out.
Yeah. Look at here. I mean, it took several months just to sort this out here. I wouldn't be surprised at what the same thing wouldn't be true today if the Lord's people, if Baptists, missionary, so-called missionary Baptists, would just bring in what they owe the Lord in just tithes. That's not even counting offerings. It says in verse 8, and when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps, and Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. And Hezekiah commanded the people to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. And, you know, we could go on here, but it talks about what a great thing happened here and how the work prospered because God's people finally got on track concerning this thing called tithing. In Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah 10, verses 37 and 38. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. All throughout the Bible, in every place that you find God's people serving God in any organized kind of way, you'll find out that the way that they financed that work was through the tithes and offerings of God's people. Amen. Amen. That's the proper way to do mission work. I believe that the Lord's churches are perfectly adequate for doing mission work all by themselves. They don't need the mission boards. Now that's another. You know, it might be a fine way of doing things, I guess, and lots of outfits do it that way. But I believe the New Testament way is for the Lord's churches to support missionaries out of their tithes and offerings. That's the way we do it here. We may not be much of a help, but I'll tell you what, you get a bunch of the Lord's churches together, working together, you can support missionaries like Brother Tweet down in Honduras, Brother Hammett down in Mexico, and Brother Morris. Brother Morris up in Northwest Territories, Brother Curtis Pugh in the Yukon, and the other brethren, Brother Hotman down in Brazil. All of the Levites in all of the villages of our tillage, cities of our tillage, everywhere. Amen. I believe that's the way it ought to be. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, non-tithers are guilty of sin. Amos 4:4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. People come to church. Bethel, you know what that means? That means the house of God. People think they're doing God a service by coming to church. You know what? You're not helping God just by coming to church. Probably if anybody gets any good out of it, it's you. People come to church day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, thinking that they're so faithful. And all they do is convict themselves more and more as robbers of God. Malachi, again, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. But then also, I believe that tithing is taught in the New Testament also. It's not just an Old Testament practice. Look in Matthew, the 21st chapter for a minute, first of all. And I enjoyed the scriptures Brother Jim read a while ago back there in Hebrews. Very appropriate. It is the Lord that we pay our tithes to anyway. It's not the preacher. It's not like that you're paying the church board or something like that. In Matthew chapter 21, let's see. if we start at verse 12, there's an account here too of something that's I think is real interesting. It says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? But you know, he came into the temple one day, and he saw all of this activity going on. I mean, people were there, and they were coming there to worship God. And I'm sure that most of them were probably very sincere as they went into the temple area. And, you know, they had their money with them. But, you know, they had to give a sacrifice of some kind. And so they would go over here to this fellow, and maybe he had a lamb. And he was willing to sell that lamb to him so that they could do their sacrifice. And it was just a scrawny old runt, you know, it was diseased and everything, which it shouldn't have been anyway. Maybe they couldn't even afford that worthless piece of castaway from the animal kingdom. And they would go over to another fellow over here, and they would say, okay, I can't afford the lamb or the bullock over here, but I might be able to afford one of these pigeons. And so they would give their money. And the place was just full of that kind of activity. And they even had people over here that could exchange the money. You know, they could give you some Roman coins for some whatever kind of coins that you brought in there, or whatever kind of temple coins. Whatever you needed, they could fix you up. I mean, if we were living in our day and time, you know, and you came in there with some Canadian money and the fellow over here didn't want to take it, you could take it over to the money changers, and they would give you the right kind of money. Oh, yeah, for their cut, right, naturally. And Jesus walked into the temple area that day, and he saw all that stuff going on, and he became angry, and he sinned not. You can be angry and sin not. And I don't believe he lost his temper, because that would be a sin. But he became angry. So much so that he let his actions speak for him rather than his words this time. And he began to tip over the money changers' tables and run the people out of the temple area. And he began to preach at the same time. And he said, you've turned God's house, which is supposed to be a house of prayer, into a den of thieves. And I'll tell you, you've got a lot of outfits today that claim to be churches. I don't believe they are. But you've got a lot of outfits today that claim to be churches, and all they are is a bunch of thieves. And you've seen some evidence of it not too long. This past year has been a great year for exposing some of the thievery that goes on in the name of religion. But let us not become so puffed up and proud of ourselves to think that the same thing cannot happen within our own ranks, because it can. And it's just as appalling to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something else. When God's people come to God's house and withhold their tithes, it's just as much of a sin as the money changers were in the temple in Jesus' day, and I believe he gets just as angry. Over in, let's see, verse 23, and when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? Now, who gave thee this authority? Boy, that's a good question. I like it when they ask me questions. I like to answer questions about authority. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. That's what Jesus said. He had all power, all authority. He had a lot more authority than those fellows there in the temple ever dreamed of having. Over in chapter 23, in verse 23, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise," I guess that's the way you pronounce that, anise, "and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." I believe here is one verse of Scripture in the New Testament that shows us without any shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament believed that tithing was the proper thing to do. Oh yes, I know that he was rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees here because they were tithing with the wrong motives. But just because they were tithing with the wrong motives, he doesn't throw tithing out the window. He doesn't throw the baby out with the wash water. He's not saying that tithing is wrong here. He's saying that they were doing the right thing in the wrong way. He said, "These ought ye to have done, but not to left the other undone."
The analogy that he gives, they're straining their net and swallowing their cap.
That's right. Amen. Jesus preached tithing in the New Testament. Compare our scriptures that we read when we first started off in Corinthians with back in the Old Testament. I mean, they line up. They're talking about doing the same kind of thing. Let me read again. 1 Corinthians, let's see, where did we start back here? It's been so long ago, I forgot where we started here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "Do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." I believe that's, you know, it's teaching a principle there that the just as the Old Testament priests, the Levites and so on, just in the same way that they were supported as far as their financial needs are concerned, in like manner, even so should New Testament preachers be supported. And you can go back, we've already read some samples of it, back in the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 24, how that the priests, how were they supported? How did they get their finances? What was their inheritance? Well, the Lord was. But how were they taken care of as far as their financial needs? From the tithes of God's people. And in New Testament times, the preachers of the gospel are to be taken care of the same way. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. Back up and read verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." I believe the context here, he's actually talking about really a love offering here that had to do with helping out the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he was saying, as he went around and traveled around visiting the various different churches that he organized during his missionary journeys, these churches, these Gentile churches, were taking up offerings to help out some of the poor saints back in Jerusalem. And he said, set this aside. When you do this, when you get together for worshiping on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, Sunday, when you bring your tithes, set something apart as a special love offering. But you know, That's what I like the phrase here. He says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. You know, the best way to give that way is tithing. It's fair. It's everybody gives the same amount. Just give as the Lord prospers you. Just purpose in your heart as the Lord prospers you to just give a tithe. If the Lord allows you to make $100 this week, then all you've got to give is $10. If the Lord allows you to make $1,000 this week, then all you've got to give is $100. Just a tenth. Just move the decimal point over one. And that's all you have to give. It's not asking too much. It's one of the best ways I know of giving proportionally on the first day of the week. In the storehouse, in the house of God. And I don't believe that it's right to say your tithing when you're a member of a New Testament church and you give your so-called tithe somewhere else. I don't believe it. I don't believe a person's tithing. They may claim to be double tithers because they give to this wonderful project over here. You know? We've got this hospital over here. We've got this old folks home over here. We've got this orphanage over here. And it's such a wonderful cause. I'm going to give my tithe to that. No, you're not. First of all, it's not your tithe. It's God's. And God's already said where it belongs. In the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? He said that there might be meat in my house. Not in the old folks' house. Not in the orphan's house. Not in the sick people's house. Not in the Christian school. But in God's house. That's where it belongs. All of those other things are worthy things to give to. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't give to them. But I'm saying, if you want to be a tither, you better make sure you're a tither. And a tithe is giving a tenth in the house of God first. And after you do that, then if you want to give to these other worthy causes, fine. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Go for it. The Lord will bless you. Well, let's close out. Just a couple other verses in John, the 14th chapter. Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting at verse 15. Jesus, as the speaker here, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And down in verses 23 and 24. See, that's 15. Wait a minute. I need to back up here. 14, 15. Jesus, here this is one. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. One of the best ways that I know of to test your spirituality is to examine how you stand on the question of giving God's way. You know, there's a lot of people in sound churches that think they're doing all right. They're in for a sad awakening because they've fallen way short of showing their love for God because they're so stingy. They're so self-centered right here. Lord, help us to be more gracious in our giving.
I firmly believe that a lot of people that wonder year in, year out, why their income doesn't stretch out sufficient to pay their bills is because that they give God the leftovers and not give Him the first fruits of their income.
I believe it. Go along with that, brother. The Lord has blessed me. You know, I've learned some lessons, some of them the hard way. But I've found out that God's true. God's promises are true. He'll take care of you. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing how that, you know, you put God first. You know, like it says in Matthew 6:31, I believe it is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of these things shall be added unto you. It's just as true as Malachi, where it says, try me. See if I just don't open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Instead of winding up paying some mechanic a bill that comes out just exactly what you owed God, or some medical clinic a bill that comes out exactly what you owed God. Instead of doing that, why don't you just give God His tithe and praise Him when all of a sudden you get a check in the mail that you never expected to get, that's just enough to cover that bill that you didn't think you could pay. It works both ways, folks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I hope that you find out.
David said, I was young and I know, yet never have I seen the righteous forsaken.
Amen.
The seed made the bread.
Amen.
The righteous man is going to do God's will.
Amen, brother. All right, let's be dismissed with okay, we can sing a song. Did you have another song? Or you just want to have prayer? Sing another song? You got one? Let's all stand and we'll sing one more song. How about God Will Take Care of You? 428. That sounded like a good one. 428. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing